of Main Street, USA. It's the heart of America, the heartbeat of a holiday.
Hello and welcome to the Blue Sky Podcast, a tribute to all things Disney, but mostly Walt Disney World. I'm your host, Ainsley, and I am joined by your other co-host, Jordan.
For our first episode, we are going to be discussing our top 10 favorite Disney touches. Specifically, what sets Walt Disney World apart from every other theme park and resort anywhere in the world? We're really excited about this topic, mainly because we are hoping we can convince people who aren't really Disney enthusiasts why it is that we're so crazy about Disney and they should be too. So we're hoping by the end of our list, you'll understand a little bit more if you haven't been to Disney before, maybe you've been but didn't really get it. You'll have a good understanding of why we love it so much. And we're hoping people who are also Disney lovers will hear these lists and think, yes, I totally agree. I know exactly what you're talking about. And have their own ideas, too, of some things that maybe we missed. So beyond that, we didn't discuss the topic any further. We each came up with our top 10 individually. So I'm excited to hear how you interpreted Ainsley and what's on your list. The way I was thinking about it when I made my list was I tried to think of experiences or things at Disney that maybe seemed insignificant at the time, or maybe you didn't even notice at the time, but you realized later it made your trip that much better and uniquely Disney. So I stayed away from really specific details, though, like if you stand in this queue and look at this wall, like, there are some really cool moments you can find like that at Disney, but I stayed away from getting that specific. So maybe you can explain how you interpreted this topic, if it was any different, and start us off with your first one.
Yeah, so I think I took a similar approach. It's not specific details or attractions or experiences that you can do. Yeah, although there are so many that we could easily talk about for hours. But I kind of focused on more like, what are those the things about the park that give you all those feels that you get, and you kind of right. Only Disney people can talk about it and get it and know you're Disney people because you get it when you talk to each other. So that's kind of where my mind went. And I think this is a very broad one to kick us off, but just the storytelling that Disney has in everything they do, the level of detail and the thought in every single aspect of their parks, their attractions, their transportation modes, their various areas like the downtown Disney, the hotels. Like, I think everything is just so thought out to a level of detail that us, the, I guess, Disney attendees, we don't even realize that it's adding to our experience. And it's just like how the music transitions as you enter a different land, and the color of the pavement you're walking on changes. And it's really important to give you that feeling that you're in that land, or you're in that place or that attraction or that story. And we don't even really think about it, but the Imagineers do, and they think of everything, and it really immerses you in those stories, and it creates that escape that we feel when we go to Disney, and that we're in those stories, and we're not just looking at them from afar, but we're really immersed in them. And it's in everything they do. Like, it's from the lines to the design to all the sensory smells and sounds. And I think that storytelling is just on a total another level, and it's something that I can't say I've ever experienced in another park.
Yeah, one of the first things I thought of, actually, and then I took it off my list because I thought maybe it was too vague, was how the storytelling of the ride starts when you're in line for the ride.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Or even, like, approaching it, not just once you get seated in your car or whatever it is. Like, it starts as soon as you even approach the line. That was one of the things I was thinking of, but then I was like, oh, I don't know if I should include that. That seems like really vague, but yeah, you already took another one of mine that you mentioned right there, because, so I'll just say that now, was the music changing from one area to another. And I think I'm thinking specifically about Magic Kingdom when I think about this one, but it happens everywhere. But just, there's more distinct lands, right? And you don't even notice the music changing as you're walking there, and then all of a sudden it's different. And like, it was so gradual.
I don't know how to do that.
That it's like mind blowing that I'm like, oh, all of a sudden I'm listening to something different and I'm humming to it. I didn't even realize it had changed. Like,
yeah,
it's very, very well done. So that was one that I thought of too. So I'm glad we were on the same wavelength.
Yeah, we might have a few that are overlapping, but we'll see how it goes. Mm-hmm. Okay, do you want to do a second one then, since we had the same first one?
Sure. I was actually going to start with this one, thinking chronologically. This is like what happens first on your trip.
Mm-hmm.
Was one of my favorite things is that if you're staying at Disney Resort, they take your luggage from the airport to your room for you.
Oh, that's such a great one. I can't believe I didn't think of it.
And I don't know any other company. Maybe there is, because I didn't look everyone up. But I've never heard of another company that does that. Like, has their own transportation and will take your bags for you. Like, it's so nice when you get off your flight and you're all excited to go and you don't have to sit there and wait for your bags to come around. You just get to hop on your shuttle, go to your resort, and you're there, like, so quickly. And then your luggage just appears in your room for you. And it's makes it so much easier. And it's, like, magical because it just delivered for you and everything's so easy, and it's just such a great start to your trip when you're really excited to get going and get started. That was one of the other things that came to my mind pretty quick.
Yeah, that's such an obvious one too, because our family does that every time. Mm-hmm. We use that option in the Disney transportation, and I can't believe it's not on my list actually.
Yeah.
So I guess before, oh sorry, did you more?
No, I think everything I had to say about the luggage.
Okay, so I think kind of the first three on my list, they are a little bit overlapping, but I think I can make an argument that they're distinct, so bear with me.
Yep.
But I call the second one Magical Moments, and I just think it's the way that the Disney parks really try to create these like personal experiences that feel so magical that you can have in the park. And like, granted, some you have to pay for, like for some people that's the Jedi training or sword fighting with Captain Jack Sparrow, but there's lots of other little ones that you don't, like just the sword lifting out of the stone in Magic Kingdom every I don't know how many times because it's never lifted for me, but or I think the one that stands out for me is just that moment when you turn onto Main Street and you like see the castle. Like, there's just all these kind of moments that you have when you're in the parks, and it's just this like really magical feeling, and you can't really replicate it anywhere else. But it's just this sense of like youth and happiness and hope, and that probably all sounds really corny, but I think Disney just does such a great job of creating these spaces and these opportunities where you can have your own magical moment. So that was my second one.
I think too, just to add to that, they've even been getting better and better over time at catering to different interests. Like, now that they have the Star Wars land and they're getting all these Marvel attractions, there's kind of a whole other market and area of people that maybe weren't as interested in the castle or certain Disney characters that didn't excite them as much, but maybe they're really into Spider-Man or other things that are coming to the parks. Like, they've really expanded who they're catering to, I think. So now more and more people can have those special moments with the things that they're really, really interested and excited about.
No, it's so true. And that was actually another one I had on my list, was just the sheer range of experiences that you can have. So you kind of touched on one.
I'm going to fly through these then.
I know. I won't say it again later. But yeah, just exactly like you said, there's something for everyone. I truly believe that. Like, there, I don't think you could find me a person where I couldn't find them something they're excited about in Disney, whether it's the rides, the shows, the shopping, the golf, the spas. Like, there's so much you can do here. There's so many entertainment options. There's so many different movies and attractions that you can get into.
Yeah.
There's truly something for everyone.
There's no way that you can't find something that was just like that moment of love for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one. So I'll go to my next one. I'll stick with my chronological going through a trip here for now. And the second one I was going to say was, again, this only applies to staying at a Disney resort, but when you arrive and the cast members there say, "Welcome home."
I love that.
I love that because I do feel like I'm coming home every time we go. especially since we've been in the DVC program and we've been staying at the same resort. We've been staying at Saratoga more often. That is becoming more like a home because we stay there every time now. And just that you do feel like you're home and they're so happy to welcome you and they know who you are. They say like, welcome home, say your family's name. And it's just such a exciting moment, again, like right at the start of the trip when you're really excited to go and you have the whole trip before you. And it's just, I don't know, just that moment of being welcomed to your resort, I think is really awesome.
Yeah, I totally agree. I love when they say that. It's like, you know, you get on the bus and you're getting taken to your hotel and you know it's starting, but then you get to the resort and they say that and you're like, yes, like,
I'm here.
You're here.
And they're excited that you're here. And you're excited, and it's like the official start.
Yeah, your official welcome to the magic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So my third one that was kind of in that stream of storytelling and moments, I think this aspect really allows for that to happen. It's an enabler, and it's just the sheer scale of the Disney property. Like, I think when people hear, like, Disney World is – like twice the size of Manhattan.
Yeah.
That's crazy. And I don't think people know that.
People don't believe like, you.
Yeah. They look at you like, okay, sure. No, it is. It's massive. Mm-hmm. And I think just from our recent trip to California, understanding the sheer scale and space that they have in Florida, it is such an enabler. And it just allows you to really become immersed in your Disney experience because you never have to leave the property. Like, you can do anything you want on that Disney property from, you know, just going between the parks in your resort to going to the water park to going shopping. It's all there. It's all Disney. It's all in the magic. It all has that Disney touch. And you never have to step out if you don't want to. You can have your whole trip immersed in the Disney magic, and I think that's pretty amazing. And I honestly can't think of any other park that has that luxury of space. It truly is a luxury.
And I really like that you use the word immersed, because I kept thinking of that specific word like the entire time I was making this list. Like, everything was coming back to being fully immersed in Disney and magic the entire time you're there. And I kept coming back to that idea, like all of these things are coming back to that idea of immersiveness, especially with like the storytelling of the lines and the music fading, all of it's just immersing you in it. And then when you leave the park, you're on a Disney monorail or a boat or a bus that is still themed to Disney and that takes you to your hotel and you never have to leave and you're always in that magic all the time, which is, I feel like we could do a whole nother episode on why you should stay on Disney property and not another hotel, because a lot of these things tie back to that, I feel like, that we're saying right now. But yeah, you can totally stay within Walt Disney World and do absolutely everything. And you're in that magic the whole time. You're not leaving and then coming back to it the next day.
And you really feel it, not so much when you're on your trip, like when you're on property, but when you're leaving it. Like, it's all of a sudden you're like, oh, like, this sucks. I'm in the real world again. Like, getting back to like MCO, it's like, oh, it's a really crappy feeling. And you almost don't appreciate that immersiveness until you're out of it.
Yeah, I agree. And I always notice after a trip, one of the things I'll really miss, like after we're back, isn't, oh, I wish I was on Splash Mountain right now, or I wish I was on Main Street. It'll be things like, I really wish I was just waiting for the bus right now at my resort.
Yeah.
Just like little things that you didn't realize was enjoyable at the time. But looking back, you're like, yeah, I wish I was in that moment where it wasn't even an attraction or a show. Like, it wasn't anything major. Maybe you were just walking around or you were waiting for a bus or a monorail, but you were still so immersed that you didn't realize how enjoyable it was.
Yeah, it goes back to that feeling that they're able to emit for you and get you to feel and buy into and believe. Like, they're so good at it that you're right. You're not sitting there thinking like, oh, I wish I had done that ride one more time. I'd love to be on it. I mean, of course you do, but it's just, oh, I wish I was back in that community, that having those feelings and being with the people and having fun. And
they provide those kind of feelings and moments the entire time, not just when you're on your favorite ride.
Exactly.
Okay, so my next one, this one's kind of random, I guess, but I said the celebration buttons that they give you. If it's your birthday or your anniversary or you're graduating, they give you those buttons, and or it's your first time at the park, whatever it is you're celebrating, they have these buttons for you, and then you wear it around the park, and it's just like a little extra magic to your day. Because I know we've both worn them for graduations in the past, or we've been with people wearing it for their first time, and the cast members give you a little bit of extra attention. They say congratulations or happy birthday or whatever it is, extra smile, and it's just a little bit of extra magic to make you feel a little more special on that day that you're celebrating. I think it's really cool they do that, and they acknowledge you when you're celebrating something.
Yeah, you're totally right. Like, having that little kind of button on, like, every cast member acknowledges you. Like, you are constantly being congratulated or celebrated, and it is a really nice kind of little touch to your celebration for whatever it is that day. They really add to it, and it's not something that's kind of for you just to have on. Like, it makes you kind of the star of your day.
And it's funny because when I'm outside of Disney, when I'm at home, I would never wear anything like that. I don't wear the birthday pin or anything. But at Disney, I'm like, yeah, give me the button. I want the cast members to acknowledge my graduation at Disney. I'm like so excited to do it when I'm at Disney, and anywhere else, I'd be like, no.
So true. I think my next one kind of builds off that really nicely, actually. Like, it's funny, we're definitely on different levels. Like, you're a bit more microcosm than mine, and I think they're complementing each other really nicely. But my next one, I think, just brings that up to scale. And it was, I wrote, like, community/family/friendliness. And at first, I was thinking specifically of the cast members and how they are just, like, so happy to see you there and to help you and give you any tips or just say hello. You mean you have, like, the different actors in Hollywood studios, and you have the different singers and bands, and then you just have your day-to-day cast members who are, you know, helping Mickey Mouse's line or the parade or in the shop, and they are all so positive and friendly. But then as I was thinking, like, they are a huge contributor to our experience, and I don't think people appreciate how much they really do make you feel at home. But then it even extends, I think, because there's that sense of community. It's not just with, like, the cast members, it's with all the people in the park with you. Like, that you are one big Disney family, and you'll meet people and you'll laugh together, and or, you know, like, just shrug your shoulders over the kid crying and have a little giggle, you know, like, it doesn't matter. The clouds open and it thunderstorms away, it only can for 20 minutes in Florida, and you run together under the shelter and, like, share a poncho or whatever. I just truly feel like everyone there is a friend. You don't have to know each other, and you have people there who are, like, looking out for you, who want to help you, regardless of if you know them or not. And I just, it's such a sense of community that I don't think other parks can generate.
Mm-hmm. I love that a lot. And there's actually a couple of things I want to, like, add to what you said. Going back to the cast members specifically, that was one thing I actually wrote and ended up crossing off when I was narrowing down, because I had more than 10. But I had wrote that they're cast members, not employees.
Yes.
So they're not just there working and getting paid. They're a cast member. They're part of the whole show that is your Walt Disney trip. And they're, like you said, like, they're so helpful and friendly and just above and beyond what an employee would be. And they're a cast member. So I think that's really cool that they call them that, and that they really embody that in their jobs every day. And I also wanted to say that, so I've been to 3 Disneys, like Walt Disney World, Disneyland California, and Shanghai Disney.
Mm-hmm.
And you've been to Disneyland Paris, so maybe you can comment on this, but I think Walt Disney World in Florida has the best cast members.
I totally agree, hands down.
Their friendliness and outgoingness, going out of their way to ask how you're doing and waving goodbye and all those little things that I think the cast members of the 3 parks I've been to are the best in Orlando.
I totally agree. I mean, our Shanghai experience was obviously going to be different because we don't speak the language. So yes. That was already a barrier. And I mean, there was a bit of that for me in Paris, but they can largely speak English and I can speak some French. So that would cut down on the barrier. But I think the most obvious comparator would then be between Florida and California. And I thought there was a huge difference, actually. I felt by far the cast members added to my experience in Florida to a, just a different level than in California. Yeah, I can't comment on how that is, but they are amazing in Florida.
Yeah, because we talked about this when we went to Disneyland, that we were like, oh, I didn't really realize how good were until they weren't really as great. And we were like, oh.
Because that really detracted from my experience.
Yeah, it was those things you didn't really notice just how great and awesome these cast members were until they weren't quite as good, and we noticed it then.
Like, yeah, and it's just like those little things where they're like dancing in the street with the Mickey Mouse glove on and they wave to you when they start the ride. Like, it's just these little things. That's what I think of when I think of the cast members. It's not like this grand moment where they like did something incredible I've never seen before. It's like just all the little things they do,
just people being happy doing what they're doing. And then just the whole sense of community. Sorry, I'm really rambling on this one, but I really liked your point, so I'm going to keep talking about it. With the whole sense of community with everyone at the park, it just reminded me of this one time when we were leaving. Do you remember this? We were leaving Fantasmic and it had been canceled because it was just pouring rain. Do the show. And I feel like anywhere else, everyone would just be so upset and furious and complaining. But we were at Disney and everyone was still happy. I remember leaving and people were just jumping in puddles together. And like you said, shrugging their shoulders, like, oh, well. And people were still cheering. And I remember jumping in puddles with some strangers being like, oh, well, like, we'll get the next show. And just everyone was so happy. And I don't think you would get that kind of reaction and like bonding between strangers in any other environment. Disney just brings that out.
It's so true. And it's funny, that made me think, like, to continue the ramble a little bit, but how Mickey Mouse is just such an icon that people rally around. And made me think of it in saying Fantasmic, because I have never seen grown adults go as crazy for a show as I have when Mickey appears on the top of that mountain after fighting
Maleficent. That's one of the best moments, I think.
It's like, when you talk about feelings you can't describe, like, that's an emotional one. And I have seen grown men and women, including ourselves,
go nuts,
lose our minds over it. Like, it's so true. And I've seen people see Mickey Mouse in the parade and be screaming, Mickey, Mickey, try to get his attention. Like,
and then again, someone freaks out to see Mickey, and then no one else is like, hey, you're blocking my view, and gets mad at them. We're just like, yes, I'm excited too. And everyone's still happy. Like, it's just so great.
It's so true. And like, I was just thinking of a time where I remember being in the mall back, I can't remember if it was here in Ottawa or wherever it was, but it was back in Canada. It wasn't at Disney. And I saw someone carrying their Disney mug that you get from the resort, the refillable mugs. And I was just like, oh my gosh, I have to go talk to them. There's no other item I don't think I could see someone carrying and then feel the need to go comment. Like, not a sports team where I'd be like, hey, I like that team too. Like, great season so far, right? Like, nothing else. But I saw that refillable Disney mug and I was just like, hey, when were you there? Like, what resort did you stay at? I'm a huge Disney fan, and like had a conversation. I never saw them again, but like, I saw that mug and I was like, a Disney person, must talk to them.
And I feel the same way when I see someone, even with like a Disney shirt on, and I feel like, oh, this person's definitely going to be nice. They're going to be happy to talk to me. It's just like this whole, I'm like, oh, they're a Disney fan? They're a good person. I want to say hi.
So true.
Okay, I'm going to go to my next one because that was long. But that was yours, right? It's my turn.
It was, yeah, it's your turn.
That was a good one because that really got me going. My next one, okay, I'm still going chronological kind of here. My next one is how they make a big deal and show out of opening the park in the morning.
Mm.
So you don't just show up, you get your ticket, or you have your ticket, you wait in line, you walk in like any other park. If you've been to Disney and you haven't been to park opening, you need to do it.
You have to
it's
go.
It's worth getting up early. One, just because the lines are so short that early in the morning, because it opens at like, what, 7 in the morning or 8?
Yeah, depending if there's magic hours or not. Yeah.
So that early in the morning, you're beating the rush, and we get on rides. It's like 4 rides in an hour, like big ticket rides.
Oh yeah, at least. Mm-hmm.
It's great time to be in the park, and it's not super hot yet, especially if you're in Florida. It's great time to be there. But then also they'll have these little shows, and like the mayor of Main Street would open the park. I think they've changed it since we watched it last, actually.
But I think they did change it, actually. Yeah, you actually go down Main Street. They open Main Street earlier now instead of having the show at the train station. And then they have a castle show.
Right. So I haven't seen the new one. But there's always a show of some sort where there's like characters involved and the mayor of Main Street's opening up the park. And it's that whole community thing again where everyone's cheering. They're excited to open the park together. And they just make such a big deal out of it. It's just so fun. It's such a great start to the day. And I just think it's a really cool idea. They just go above and beyond in everything. They're like, oh, we could open the park and just open the gates and everyone walks in. Or we can make this an attraction. Opening the park is an attraction.
That's really well said. Yeah. And the star is the mayor, which I love. Like, which other park has a mayor?
I want that job. I want to be the mayor of Main Street.
That's actually an awesome job. Start, like, open the park, shake some hands, like, probably dance a little. Like, what a great job.
I don't know what qualifications I need for that, but I need to look into it. Yeah, that was my number 4.
That's another really good one.
Since I said one. Yeah.
So the next one on my list was the evolving nature of the parks. I love that they are never static and they never accept kind of the status quo. Like, I truly think they're just on their own level of theme park and experience, but they continue to push their own boundaries and to add new things and to update their experiences and their attractions. And I think that's a really great thing. And it's kind of funny that I'm saying that because I'm someone who really hates change. So
get bummed when one of your favorite rides gets closed.
Yeah, that really sucks. And like, even when it's not my favorite ride, like when they were changing Maelstrom, I was like, you can't change that. And like, I don't really know why, because I was not attached to that. I mean, we went on it every time, but kind of just to go on it, and it was fun, but it wasn't like
nostalgic though.
That's right. But they do need to keep updating it to, you know, kind of be relevant, especially they're now doing a big kind of overhaul and relook at Epcot, but those attractions that kind of deal with like technology in the future, obviously that requires a level of maintenance. But I think that they're really careful and thoughtful about what they update and what they add. And I think that's really important. It keeps your experience kind of like fresh and evolving. And there's always something new that you can go on, something that you can go on for the first time. And that's exciting. There is a certain excitement to riding something or experiencing something for the first time.
Definitely.
Especially for us who we are so fortunate to have gone like as many times as we have. And then now as we're starting to kind of bring like our new family members, like our boyfriends or new like friends for the first time, it's nice to experience something with them for the first time.
Yeah.
So I really love that about Disney.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting too. That's a good point, because the D23 Expo was just like a week or two ago and they announced so many things, like so many changes, new things coming, but they also do such a good job of balancing the nostalgia and the new, because obviously every time they change something, if it's not an addition, if they're taking something out and replacing it with something new, it's a big controversy, right? It was someone's favorite attraction. A lot of people feel nostalgic about old attractions, but they've done a really good job at keeping, like, they're still opening day attractions that exist still in the park. And I think they've kept the overall feelings and themes. And so you still have the nostalgia while you're still getting new and exciting experiences. I think that's a really hard thing to balance, but they've been doing a very, very good job.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's well said.
Okay, so my next one's very random. But when I thought about it, like, I was very excited about it. I was like, yes, I get excited about this every time. It's like the weirdest little thing. But it's those little circular Mickey Mouse stickers that they give you when you're shopping.
Yeah.
You know the ones? There's like two versions. There's Mickey's face and then Mickey's full body.
And they give you like 10 of them at a time.
Yeah, a huge roll of them. And they'll be like, you're just walking around shopping downtown. Or usually it's downtown when I get these. And either while you're shopping or like when you pay, they'll put them in your bag. And they give them to everyone. Like not just kids. Like I'm 24 and I'm excited I get these stickers. And mainly because usually they do go into my shopping bag or my wallet and then I forget about them. And it's something I find later when I'm home. And I'm like, oh yeah, my Mickey stickers. It's a little bit of magic that I forgot was there that just makes me happy later on. And it's just a really one of those little extra above and beyond things Disney does, that little more magic to your shopping and that you get to bring home with you. And I think it's really neat.
It is really neat. And I guess now is a good time to catch ourselves, because I guess we'll just apologize now. We will probably never say Disney Springs.
Oh, like, you're right. It should be.
That just has not stuck for either of us. And so we apologize. But it's just Downtown Disney for us. It probably will always
be. I can't get that one out of my head. The MGM to Hollywood Studios, I did okay with that transition. But Disney Springs is not sticking for
me. Yeah, it won't stay in my brain. I don't know why.
I think because Saratoga Springs.
Yeah.
Is the Springs to me, and then it's just too simple. It's downtown. I'm sorry.
So that's just our little caveat. We're always going to say that.
Disclaimer, it's downtown.
No, that's a great one, though. And it's, it's such a small thing. And it's just, but it's a nice little token that you carry around.
It's a small thing that makes you so happy.
And I liked your point that it's a bit of magic that you forget you have and find back home. And that's a nice moment, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So my next one kind of goes with my evolving nature. I called it pushing the boundaries of storytelling. So in this aspect, I was just thinking more of like those technological advances that Disney pushes, which is awesome. Like they are not relying on kind of like other entities, people, organizations, corporations to come up with the next big technology they can leverage. They're doing it themselves. They're researching it. They're testing it. Their Imagineers are awesome. And it really pushes the boundaries of storytelling for me. It makes it so that, like, it's just leading edge technology. It's things you're like, how did they do that? Like, and you're thinking about it the rest of the day and you're totally immersed. And I love that. So I think there's kind of two sides. There's this technology side to it. Like being on Flight of Passage, I was just like, I don't know how that happened, but that was the coolest ride I've ever been on. So, like, great job, Disney. But then there's, like, smaller things where they are, like, just kind of vamping tricks that have been around forever. Like, I'm thinking of Pepper's Ghost, but it creates such a cool scene in the Haunted Mansion in that ballroom. And then there's just the way they think about their storytelling. Like, I love that. In Star Wars Land, for example, first of all, the lands that they're coming up with now are so immersive and pushing the boundaries of storytelling. Like, you don't get it until you've been in that land. And, like, admittedly, we talked about this. We are not Star Wars people. But we were, like, in awe of Star Wars Land. I'm sure that's not the proper term for that land, but
I don't know what would be an adequate term to describe it.
Yeah, you can't describe it. And I love how they just built everything and thought about like your experience and your adventure in that land. And so I thought like, it's so neat that Batu isn't a land that has a story in the movies. It's for you to make your own story. And it fits so nicely with those stories we all like know so well, even as people like us who aren't Star Wars people, we know those stories, but they made it so this land is your story.
Yeah.
And I just think like those pieces of storytelling, those reusing and improving tricks that of the trade that have been around, and then that pushing of technology to new places and advancements, it just all comes together and creates this amazing experience for the guests. And they just continue to push the boundaries of what they can do and how they can get you into the story.
Yeah, Disney is never playing catch up with anyone else. That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's like sure. Disney comes out with something and the other entertainment companies are like, oh, crap.
We should do that.
Yeah. But another, just to add to that, I think because it's so impressive, just their technology and storytelling, all their advancements, I think it adds another layer of entertainment for adults. Because I noticed myself as I grew up going to Disney, when I got older, I started looking at things going, okay, well, how does that work though? Mm-hmm. And how'd they do that? And it just adds another layer of awe that you didn't think about when you were a kid. You just watched what was going on around you. And then as I got older, I started thinking, okay, like, how is this happening? How does this ride work? How'd they make this effect? And it adds even more to it to think about those things as well.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a great point.
So how many more do you have, by the way? I have four.
I have three.
Okay. So my next one is that they give credit to past Imagineers in the store windows on Main Street.
I love that they do that.
In other places as well. That's just the main one where there's the most and it's more well known. But I think it's really cool that they're always giving credit to people where credit's due and people that were working with Walt Disney, like side by side with him. It's very, very cool how well they knew him and that they were handpicked by him to build these parks and then that they're still giving them a shout out and keeping them in the parks. And I just really like that. They always go back to their history in Disney.
They do. Yeah. And they do it in really clever ways. Like they'll add names into the name of the store. So it'll be somebody's like Candy Co. or whatever it may be. So like sometimes, like some are just like the names on the windows, like a bit more obvious, but then you'll find all these little places where they've just kind of like done a subtle nod to the Imagineers. Mm. Like I believe there's a portrait of one of the Imagineers somewhere in the Beauty and the Beast area in Fantasyland or something like that.
I didn't know that.
I probably got that wrong, but the point being, like, they do these subtle nods too, and I think that's really great.
And they do the same thing for old attractions that are no longer there. Like, there's like a nod to Mr. Toad in the line. I can't remember which line it's in now.
It's Haunted Mansion. It's a gravestone layout in the pet graveyard.
Thank you. They do little things like that where they're just always going back to this is where we were and now we're moving forward, but we're still keeping that in our minds.
Yeah, and they have the one for 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Yeah.
In front of Winnie the Pooh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that they're always keeping that in mind.
Yeah, they're remembering their history and they're proud of it and they're learning and kind of recreating new things based off those lessons learned. And
especially the ride nods, it also helps for those people that maybe that was one of your favorite rides and you were really sad to see it go. That's just another way to keep it around a little bit. It's like, okay, totally. I'm sad they replaced that with this new thing, but there's this cool little nod to it you can find somewhere else and it keeps it around for you and that's exciting to see.
That is. So the next one on my list was the food, and I put an exclamation point because I think the food there is so awesome. Like, it is not your typical park food. I think of what I can get when I go to, like, Canada's Wonderland in Toronto, and it is just your pizza, your Chinese food, your burger, like, just kind of your typical park food. And yes, you can get that at Disney if that's what you want to get. But there's such a wide range of food and it's not cheap. It's really good food. There's some really big chef names at some of the restaurants, particularly in downtown Disney. I think they've done a great job at expanding the dining experience you can have there. It is really good now. And I'm sure this was like a conscious decision, but it kind of seems like they're making these restaurants that are coming in have the sit down and the quick service option. So you can really get some amazing quick service food and it's not that expensive and it's fast to get. And then you have like things like World Showcase where there's so many different types of food based on different cultures that you can have. I think that's such an amazing touch. Disney, is moving out into drinks, the alcohol kind of drinks, alcoholic drinks is what I'm thinking of. And whether people agree or not with that, there's kind of some really cool experiences coming out of it. Some really neat lounges. I know the lounge that is at the Polynesian Resort is on our list, Trader Sam's. Like, we are going there next trip because we haven't actually had the chance to experience it yet. But everyone raves about the experience you have there. So I just think the food is another experience that you get at Disney. It's not what you're going to get anywhere else. And there's so many good food options that it's hard to know where to go.
So I think any other theme park, eating isn't something that's like a main attraction of your day. It's like, let's grab something quick and then get back to the park, which you can also do at Disney. And get really, really good food, too. That's better than a regular park. But then you can also have these really cool sit-down dining experiences that are, like, another attraction. That's part of your experience today. It's not just, okay, eat, get back to what I was doing. Depending on
where you go. Yeah, eat with characters. Like, there's so many character dining options. Mm-hmm. It's such a nice way to just bring your family together after a busy day and, like, share a meal together. And there's some really great options if you're trying to celebrate something. Like, there's a lot of certainly expensive too, but there's a lot of really lovely options you can go if you're trying to make it a bit more of a celebration.
Our guest is sticking out in my mind right now. Like, you don't go there just to eat, even though the food is great. Like, but you go there, it's a whole experience. And then there's also the other side of the dining where it's like, you can get quick service that's cheap and it's quick, but it's also really good quality food too. So you can do both and you're still getting really great meals. Okay, so my third last one is pin trading.
Yes.
And this was one where I thought you might have it on your list
too. I don't actually.
Our whole family loves the pin trading. And if you haven't traded pins, you should do it. It's lots of fun. And especially because the cast members will always trade with you. They can't say no. So
that's a great feature.
Let you switch whatever.
That's a great feature that they can't say no.
Yeah. They can't say no. So if you see a great pin you want on a cast member's lanyard, they always trade you. And then you could try to trade with other guests too if you want, but they might not want to give up their pins. But then usually there's, particularly at the resorts, in like the gift shops or restaurants, they'll have the big board. Or in the stores at Disney Springs, mm-hmm. myself, they'll have a big board of pins and you can like go up to it and trade. And it's really fun to do. And it's also one of those things that gets me excited for the trip. When we know we're going to be going, we like get out our pins like a month before, do some trading amongst ourselves, or we'll get pins for Christmas, which is a neat trick if you're buying pins to trade. They are expensive to buy pins in Disney. So if you're just buying them to trade, go online and order them online. I think, was it eBay or Amazon?
I think it was eBay.
I think it was eBay. As long as they have that little, they have a little Mickey on them, that it's like a legitimate trading pin. And you can get them really cheap. So we'll get those for Christmas, and then you can go trade them in the park and get really good pins and cool characters and stuff. And it's really fun.
Yeah, that's a great one because you can make it a bit of like a game for yourself where you're trying to hunt down like collection or sets of pins that go together, which is pretty fun. And then all of the like resorts, all of the parks do have special pins that like are for that resort or park. So it's also kind of just a nice way to get a little keepsake of where you were, what you did. If it's like, I don't know, when 25 year of the park anniversary or something like that, they'll have special pins. So it's a nice way to commemorate your trip. And I mean, as far as keepsakes go, it is a cheaper one.
Yes.
So that's also kind of a nice little memento to take home.
Like, I think the pins in the park range, what, like $8 to $12 or something like that.
Yeah, well, I think there's ones that are more expensive, but they're pretty intense. Like, they'll have, like, moving parts.
They're like moving parts.
Yeah.
But if you go online, if you're not looking for those special ones, if you go online, you can get them for, like, $1 each.
Yeah, that's what we do. We don't care what we get.
And then you just go trade them for whatever you want. But if you want something more specific, like for a certain resort, you'll probably just want to buy that in the park. Okay, back to you.
Okay, so my second last one was cleanliness. And this is another thing that I don't know if people appreciate it until you go to another park and you're like, oh, it's dirty here.
Yeah, I thought about this one too. So you go ahead and then I'm going to comment.
Okay. Yeah, like the parks, like you don't see garbage, you don't smell garbage. Like it is spotless. It is so well maintained. Like I love that story you hear about how originally at Disneyland, Walt sat on a bench and watched people to see how far they would walk before they would just drop their garbage.
That's exactly what I was going to talk about.
I love that story. And then that's how far apart the garbage bins are. And then.
So they're no more than 30 feet.
It's 30 feet. Okay.
27 to 30 feet or something was the average. So there's a garbage can.
I mean,
that front.
That's just a great story on its own. But I love it too because I think, like, what better way to demonstrate the level of care that Walt had in his parks and the level of pride? But it's truly, it's spotless. It's so clean. And I've never smelt anyone even smoking in my life at a Disney park. Like, it is awesome. And it's just a little thing, but it makes a huge difference in just, again, that like feeling you have when you're there.
I've never seen garbage on the ground.
So let me ask you
in Disney ever.
No.
As long as I can remember. So yeah, I thought about that one too. I just wrote garbage cans on my list. And I was thinking the spacing and exactly that story that he spaced them because he watched how long people would hold garbage for. And then the other thing I was thinking about with the garbage cans was how even those are themed to the area that you're in.
Yeah, so true.
And it would just be such an easy thing to have this standard garbage can and then they're all over the park. And they're all the same style, generally, but they have their different colors and they have different designs. And some in Animal Kingdom, you'll get the Dino Institute logo on the garbage cans in Dino Land. And Fantasyland has different garbage cans than when you're in Adventureland. And just another extra mile they went to immerse you even more into where you are. And they're going as far as to theme the garbage cans. Like, that's pretty cool.
Just another level of detail.
And now it's just next level detail, right? Where it's, yeah, it's the cleanliness, and they're also using that to immerse you in a story. So I really liked both of those aspects.
And I mean, the infrastructure behind it is quite impressive and how it's all kind of connected underground. So you never see even a cast member in a garbage bin. Like, they thought of everything.
Yeah, you never see the garbage leaving the park or getting carried around. It's just so nice. And it's another one of those things you don't think about it when you're there. Like, oh, I didn't see a garbage bag today. Like, it would never cross your mind unless you go to another park and then you, like, somewhere else, like, outside of Disney and see it happening. And you're like, oh, that's not nice.
Yeah, that's it.
So this is my last one then, since you...
Oh, right.
My garbage can one. That was one of my last ones. So my only other one left is... that at the end of the night, when the park is closing, they don't force you out.
That's a good one.
I love. So say the park closes at 10 p.m. or 11 p.m., whatever it is. The rides will close, but they don't make you leave. You can keep walking around and, like, take your time. The shops will still be open, and you can take your time leaving the park. And it's one of my favorite times to be in the park. And I'm thinking about Hollywood Studios, actually, as I say this, because that's one where we usually do the magic hours at night. And we're leaving at, like, midnight or 2 a.m. even sometimes. And we take our time. The park's almost empty because it's pretty much closed. It was extra magic hours, so it wasn't very busy to begin with. And you have, it feels like you have the whole park to yourself. And you can walk around the streets. Everything is still lit up. You can still walk around the stores. And it's a totally different feeling than being in the park during the day when it's full of people. And I love that they don't try to rush you and force you out at the end. I think if you wait long enough, the buses might stop running after a few hours, but I've never heard of that happening to anyone. So I think it's just a really, really nice way to end your day if you can, if you make it all the way till closing. It's a really special time in the park.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And there's just something different about the parks at night. They take on a different life. And you really, you've got to see it. And you're absolutely right. Like, it's almost empty at that point. So you can get some really cool pictures. Like, you can get kind of those landmarks without people in it. And then you can get, you know, like, we have pictures of ourselves, no one else on the street, in front of, like, the, well, it was the giant sorcerer's hat. Yes, the
sorcerer hat was there.
Yeah, like, it is a really nice way to end your day. You're not rushed. You're not fighting crowds. You're not being chased out by an employee. Like, they really let you just enjoy the park and take it in and experience it and take your time and... You almost, this kind of sounds funny, but you kind of get a little closure to your day at the park. And for some of those parks, you know, you're only there for that one day and you're not going to be back for us 2 years probably. So it's a nice way to just kind of stop and like take it in
at the end of your
park. Yeah, and have your last just moment in the calm and appreciating just your day there and with each other and in the magic. Mm-hmm.
Especially if it's a park where there was, a, like, which is most of them, a nighttime show now, where the whole crowd is leaving at once, and the park is just emptying within, like, half an hour. So you see the show, it's great, and then you're just fighting a crowd out to the bus or monorail or whatever it is you're taking. It's just, instead of doing that, waiting that little extra time and kind of going out on your own, it's just... It is kind of like closure. Instead of rushing out with that big crowd of people, you take your time and really appreciate everything.
Yeah, I totally agree. That's a great
that
one.
That was my last one.
Okay, so I'm actually surprised that you didn't have the one that's my last one. It's Hidden Mickey's.
I did think about that. And then I didn't write it because I think I was like, oh, Ainsley will say that.
Okay, well, so here I am doing it. I'm... meeting your hope here. I love that they have Hidden Mickey's. It is just, again, one of those little touches of Disney magic that is so much fun. Like, let's face it, some lines can be really long. Like, if you want to get on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train for a long time, you could be waiting 2 hours. So having like these little Hidden Mickey's to like look out for and search for. And I guess an extension to that, now they have games on like the app. We haven't really used that, but that's just another way to kind of interact with the lines and the queues and the rides that you're getting ready for. And specifically with the Hidden Mickeys, like what an easy thing, really. Like Disney just has to come up with them and put them in, and it doesn't require anything after that. But we love searching for them. And when you find them, it's like this moment of pride. Like, I found that Hidden Mickey, like. You can find it. I found it. You get a little friendly competition, and then you're just, you're forever the one who's like, yeah, I found that Hidden Mickey. That was me. Like,
and then I pointed it out to everyone else because I found it first, and I showed everyone else where it is.
Yeah, it's so fun. And, like, I know there's ones, like, we have come off Dinosaur and stared at that mural behind the photo.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Oh my gosh, I don't even know for how long, because we're like, we're not leaving until we find this Hidden Mickey. Like, we will find it.
The cast member helped us.
It was so hard to find. Some of them are very difficult.
Yeah. And there was a cast member who saw us staring, and she was like, are you looking for a Mickey? And she gave us a hint, because we were never going to find that on our own. She noticed us staring at this mural for a long time.
And so, like, you can buy the, like, there's hard copy books you can buy that have hints for all of the Hidden Mickeys, and then you can also download that book as an app, so you don't need to carry a book. You can have it on your phone, which is what I always do. And I had to pay a larger cost for the app up front, but now it's only like a couple dollars to upgrade it every time there's a new edition, rather than buy a whole new book, which is awesome. And then you get to search for these Hidden Mickeys, and they're everywhere.
And you can check them off in the app, right?
You can check them off, and then it'll like tell you how many you've completed and stuff. And it's all organized by location. So like you pick your park, and then you pick the land, and then you pick the ride, and it'll list it. Or the area or the attraction.
And they're in the resorts too.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. Like, they're not just in attractions. They are everywhere. They're just walking around. They're on the streets. They're in downtown Disney, the resorts. Like, they're everywhere.
Disney Springs.
Sorry, Disney Springs. So I just love that. It's such a fun thing to do. It's such a fun way to pass the time and, like, have a little kind of family game together. And we love it. We do it every time.
We all love it. I think we were actually going to do an episode on our favorite hidden Mickeys.
Yeah, we did talk about it.
At some point in time.
Well, so funny. Like, there's ones that we all know, and we're still like,
hey, there it is. And it makes me just as happy every time I see it. Even though I've looked at those plates and gone, oh, it's a Mickey, probably like 30 times in my life now. Every time I'm like, oh, it's a Mickey. And I get just as excited that I found a hidden Mickey.
Yeah, that's right.
First time I saw it.
So yeah, that was my last one.
That's a nice one to end on. I like that one.
Yeah, I think it was really interesting, actually. I'm glad we didn't talk about it beforehand because we did, for the most part, have different picks, which was nice.
Yeah, I feel like you had a lot more kind of abstract and like concepts and ideas, and more so than I had like physical things, which is a good combination.
Yeah, I totally agree. And hopefully you, the listener, think so too.
Yes. And we didn't take too many of each other, so that was pretty good.
Not bad for our first attempt.
Not bad.
Well, I think that wraps up our episode one. If you've made it this far, thanks so much for sticking with us. We're really excited about this podcast, and, you know, it's a bit of a pet project for us, but we do think we have a lot of enthusiasm and knowledge that we want to share, and hopefully you learn something and enjoy listening too.
Hopefully you listen again.
Okay, thanks so much. Have a magical day.